a very basic philosophy, but it is most profound, that Krishna is the cause of all causes. Basic it may seem to us, we're so fortunate, because we've been taught this knowledge, which otherwise it may take many lifetimes to understand. Bahunam janmananante jnanavanam vipadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudyodhava. To understand that Krishna is the cause of all causes, and therefore to surrender to Him, it may take many, many lifetimes. But those who are fortunate, they simply get Prabhupada's books, or they hear devotees saying, Krishna is the cause of all causes. And those who are fortunate, they accept it. And those who are unfortunate, they'll go on arguing in different ways. But at least, the devotees, they can accept this point, Krishna is the cause of all causes. Otherwise, Vedanta philosophy, this is one of the main points. Vedanta begins, Janma adi asya yataha. The Supreme Absolute Truth is that from which everything emanates. What is the cause of everything? So what is that Janma adi? What is the cause of everything? That is the subject matter of so much discussion. However, as Daksha is very intelligently, he has already said in the previous verse, that simply by material adjustment, even if you get the Vedas, which are transcendental sound, but if we put them through the mind, which is not transcendentally purified, then we come up with the wrong conclusion. We say, yes, the Absolute Truth is the cause of everything. The Absolute Truth is ultimately impersonal. Or there will be so many different ideas. But those who are fortunate, they hear Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the original cause of everything. And therefore they can understand. As Krishna says in the Gita, the devotees, they see Krishna in everything and everything in Krishna. Just like this microphone. This microphone is made from metal, different transformations of plastic. So the metal comes from a mine, the plastic comes from oil, these things come from the earth. The earth is part of the manifested creation of Brahma. The ingredients are supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The intelligence to organize all the ingredients comes from Brahma. Both Brahma and the Supreme Brahma, the Supreme Living Being within this universe, and the ingredients are manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is described in Shastra, how the universes emanate from the body of Mahavishnu in seed form. Then again Mahavishnu, he enters into each universe as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Then again from his navel Brahma is born, and he is inspired with the intelligence how to create, how to organize all the matter. And that Mahavishnu is an expansion of an expansion of an expansion, several times removed, of Govinda, the original form of the Personality of Godhead. So, this way the devotees see. This microphone, the ultimate cause is Krishna. Of course, materialists may say, no, the cause is the intelligence of the person who designed it. But then, where has that intelligence come from? The materialists will say, that intelligence is some interaction of neurons within the brain. However, as Srila Prabhupada has very clearly pointed out, especially in those life comes from life conversations, that if you think that intelligence is simply a product of interactions within the brain, then do it. If you're a scientist, make some brain. Or even the brain that you already have, preserve it. Make an Einstein. You cannot do it. The intelligence, the source of that intelligence is Krishna. And if we take this as a hypothesis, of course, we're taking it as a fact. But if we were to take it as a hypothesis, that the original source of everything is a supreme living being, personal, person, then we can find that everything within creation, everything that we can observe, very nicely fits this hypothesis. Whereas, if we take it that there is no ultimate supreme cause, everything is just going on somehow or other, then we end up with confusion. Just like our dear friends, the scientists. The scientists, they are trying to put together all their theories that they have come up with as a unified field theory. They want to put together all their theories in some mathematical conclusion and say, this way we have understood how everything is working. Even then, if they were to find one mathematical theory that would put everything together, still they would have to say, how is it that everything is fitting together according to mathematical theories? This reductionism, this is the atheist, modern atheistic scientific attempt, reductionism, reduce everything to mathematical formula which will explain everything. But that doesn't, even if you say we have understood how the atoms are interacting with each other because this one has a stronger electron than that one's, so in this way the one is attracted to the other and they interact and we can explain. But then how have these laws come into being? That they cannot explain. Simply they want to say, we can understand it. But even if you understand it, which they cannot, they're not able to succeed, even though they put on a very good bluff of teaching everybody that we know what is going on, they don't know what's going on. Recently, one devotee was telling me, he was preaching in the university and he was challenging the so-called scientists. We say so-called scientists because scientist means they should be able to prove what they are saying. But instead, Prabhupada said, science means hypothesis, analysis, and conclusion. And Prabhupada said, they simply make hypothesis, analysis, they can't come to any conclusion, they simply speak all nonsense. So that is not scientists. So anyway, this devotee was saying that they have now, due to their more and more research, they have found that there is one element which doesn't fit the laws of physics. That this liquid, if you put it at the top of a tube, according to all the laws which they now say they know, it shouldn't go down, it should stay at the top. And that element is dihydrogen oxide, or water. According to their latest theories, if you put water at the top of a tube, it should not come down, it should stay where it is. Wonderful scientists. So how do they explain it? They have got the theory of confusion, which means that they're all confused. They don't know what's going on. So this way, they're making different theories and avoiding the conclusion. Just like 2 days ago, we had all over India this feeding God with milk. I don't know if it happened in Vrindavan, but in Delhi, it did. In Delhi, as part of my daily morning sadhana, I was sitting next to the telephone, and phone rang, and some man was saying, you have to feed God some milk, feed him milk. So this man was a little unusual, a little strange. But then we heard that everywhere all around, that God is, all the gods, they are drinking milk. So all the devotees, they went out to the temples to see. Then we thought, well, why? We'll do here also. So we did. And we fed Ladu Gopal the milk, and he drank it. We made videos, and it wasn't dropping down. So we saw the newspaper that the scientists, they're making some comment. That we don't think it's anything unusual. There must be something, and they said it's caused by, they gave some long words, which no one can understand. They also don't understand. But they just tried, they put some big long word just to show that, yes, we can understand. Of course, they can't say why it never happened before. Just suddenly on this day, when you offer milk, exactly at the lips, then he'll drink. And of course, they were saying what it was, capillary action. They said because the deities are made of marble, and there's little air veins in the marble. Therefore, when you put, then that gets absorbed. But we were doing to Ladu Gopal, who was a Ashtadhatu, metal deity. So I don't know how they explain. Anyway, they'll say something or other. They'll try to avoid. Always they'll try to avoid this conclusion that Krishna is the supreme cause of all causes. Which, even if you take it, even if you want to take it analytically, scientifically, it's a very good scientific theory that there is an original intelligent source behind everything. And the theory that Everything is simply going on somehow or other without any particular cause, just by chance. It's not a good theory at all. It's more scientific. It fits the data better to say that there is an original cause of all causes. But, unfortunately, due to this atheistic theories, they want to avoid. Just like there was some conference some years ago, there was a scientific conference on the origin of the universe. And the first resolution they made is that in this conference, we shall not discuss any supernatural causes, such as God. That we shall not do, because that's not scientific. Scientific means we must find some theories to avoid God. That's their idea of science. How we shall avoid God. And this has been going on. They got a little bit puffed up in this age of enlightenment. They looked through a telescope and they saw, oh, now we understand how one planet is going around another planet. So now we don't need God anymore. Foolishness. They thought, because we can explain how the planets are moving, therefore now we can say we're human beings, we don't need to bring God into the picture. Of course, that about 2 years ago, I think it was, that Voyager 9 spacecraft, they told us, although we're supposed to believe them, that it went outside our solar system, whatever that is. I don't think solar system is in the Vedic astronomy at all. And anyway, the head of NASA, that North American Space Administration, said that. Now, after getting the information, we have to, from the photographs they have taken, we have to revise all our old theories, because they're all wrong. So this they're always do. Then they'll make some new theories, and again they'll find out a few years later, all wrong. And then again, all wrong. And now we know. Now we know. Before we were wrong, and before that we were wrong, and before that we were wrong, but this time we're right. But, oh, never mind, next time. All right, we found that was wrong too. Never mind, we'll give a new theory. So this means everyone is going to university and studying, and they get their MSc, PhD, and a few years later it's all wrong. But still, they go on teaching, just like in the schools, they're teaching evolution, even though they know it's wrong. They know that it's not verified. I met one scientist. I wanted to give him Life Comes From Life. So he asked, what is this about? I said that this is to show that your theories of evolution are all wrong. He said, well, everyone knows it. All the scientists know it. So I said, then why are you teaching it? Well, we haven't come up with a new theory yet, so we have to teach something. So we go on teaching this. So this way they're cheating. They're always, what they call knowledge is always changing. This is one distinctive feature of the Vedic knowledge, is that it doesn't change. Here we are quoting Prabhupada is quoting Madhva Acharya. So you may think, Madhva Acharya, what relevance has he got to our life nowadays? Here we are, we're nearly in the 21st century. We have computers, space rockets, and so many different advanced things. And Madhva Acharya was just some sadhu walking around. He didn't even have trains in those days. He was just walking, very primitive. So what has he got to do with us? We're so advanced. They're thinking so advanced. Actually, it's not advanced. They're thinking we've discovered so many things. Something new which was never there before. Therefore, we're so much better. There's nothing new. One lecture Prabhupada was saying, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything is that we see, it's all been there before. It's like, this is Kali Yuga. Before there was Kali Yuga. So in Kali Yuga, according to the people's mentality, they like to create things and discover things and deny God. Therefore, every Kali Yuga, someone discovers a locomotive, steam power, cars, roads, they make pollution, so many different things. They think they're making progress, they deny God in so many different ways. And then again, they become more and more sinful, and Kalki Avatar comes and cuts them all to pieces and establish Satya Yuga, and then no more motor car civilization. So in this way, they're thinking they're advanced, defying Madhva Acharya, Ramanuja Acharya, Prabhupada, but they don't have any tangible explanation. This our ISKCON scientists, they're now doing. They're showing, very powerfully, that they don't have any real explanation. So long they've been bluffing people. Now they're showing. here's the theory. You have evolution theory, you've given so much information. Now we're showing that your information is all cheating. We have so much information to show that everything you say is wrong. Now our scientists are showing. Prabhupada said that within 50 years, this bluffing of the scientists will all be over. And we can see that that knowledge is there. You can't deny, they can deny it. Just like some, there was one denial of this book by Sadaputta Prabhu, Hidden History of the Human Race. He wrote, anyone interested in absolutely nonsensical pseudoscience, they can read this book. In other words, without even trying to refute it, he simply, don't even read this book, it's all nonsense. And if you read it, you'll see, according to their scientific system, he has analyzed, he has given evidence, and he's given the conclusion that whatever you're saying is all nonsense. He's giving the conclusion scientifically. So you can't deny this. And we see now throughout the world that people, they're accepting this more and more. The knowledge given in Prabhupada's books, because they're disgusted with what these so-called scientists are giving. That came recently in a British newspaper, just about 2 weeks ago or so, that they made some survey in America, 10% of the people don't believe they ever went to the moon. They think it's all a big bluff. So that's 10% have got some kind of enlightenment in the right direction. So like this we see there are so many different signs, just like medicine also. People, they're turning to natural medicine in so many areas. They're not satisfied with what the scientists are giving, nor are they satisfied with the worldview which is given by the scientists. This worldview has come, this reductionist theory, everything can simply be explained in terms of interactions of atoms and molecules, but people are not satisfied with that. Otherwise, why are they joining the Hare Krishna movement, for instance? If people are joining, at least in India, they're very impressed, they see, people are joining, so many Western people, educated, from Western education means scientific background. And why are they taking to this? Is they're not satisfied, they're satisfied with this intellectually, not simply they see devotees dancing, they think some sentiment. But see which books we have, what are we studying? Every morning, which books are such philosophy? Practically no one is even interested, they don't even have any idea of such philosophy. Simply their whole life, their whole sambandha avideya prayojan is simply ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha. Their whole goal of life is simply how to get food, how to get sex, how to sleep nicely. If they can sleep up to, here in India also now, it's considered very prestigious if you can sleep until 10 o'clock in the morning. That means you're a very big man. You can sleep till 10 o'clock in the morning, then get up, go and play tennis, go to your office at 4 o'clock, shout at everybody for 1 hour and come back. It's very prestigious. You can sleep more. Well, you see, they have made such a big, big civilization. Big buildings, big cars, big pollution, big problems. So many big, big things. America, people, they respect America because they have big buildings. So big, if you look, you think they're going to fall down on top of you. And everywhere they're imitating, just like in Kuala Lumpur. They're building big buildings with no office. There's no one to sit inside them because there's not enough business. But still they have to build big buildings just to show we're also as good as the Americans. So they think that Jai Shri Shri Nitai Gauranga, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Akashan Sundaritasha. Building big, big buildings, they're advanced. But practically we see, if you analyze, what is their interest? Basically they're interested in sex. This Rabindra Sarup Prabhu, he was telling it once, because he's a big, 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 big brain, big genius type. So he preaches to all these big scholars. He goes to seminars and he discusses and uses all these big long words which normal people or less intelligent people like me can't understand. So he said one time he was at one of these seminars and all these professors, they're very sophisticated and cultured. And at first he said he was thinking, well, you know, our devotees, most of them are a little rough, and these people are actually very cultured. But then he said, after 2-3 days, I got to realize, not having devotee association, how wonderful the devotees are, because their goal of life is to understand Krishna. Whereas these big people, they speak, every word they speak, it's about 20 letters long. And no one, that's, you have to speak like that, that's the way they speak. But Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was saying, I realize they're just actually, they're cultured animals. Because for all their big long words, ultimately all they're interested in is sex, that's all. Simply they're a little polished, sophisticated. But their same interest as the guy in the street who's just digging the road. And that same thing, because they have no higher knowledge, no real higher education. So this is real higher education, Krishna consciousness, philosophy, to understand what is the cause of all causes. Who's even asking such a question? Simply they're asking, who should we vote for to get more sense gratification, some new discovery, some new movie. That I was surprised. I came to Berlin. I'd just been in India, and I'd been in Russia, which is also, they're trying, as in India, they're trying to become hyped up for sense gratification, but they've been many years out of practice, so they're not up with the Western world. So anyway, then I came to Berlin, which is a very prominent city of sense gratification, in a very prominent country of sense gratification, very advanced country, Germany, all big cars and big highways. So we're having our Rath Yatra there, and then I saw one big display, one big shop is dedicated to Batman. If you don't know who Batman is, you've wasted none of your life. Batman, some complete imagination. They've made the whole display, and the people, for all their education and their big technology, the big thing that they're going to see is Batman. So it means that after all their education, technology, they're simply completely foolish. Batman, for the benefit or non-benefit of those who don't know, it's some invented idea of someone who puts on, some man who puts on clothes which disguises him like a big bat, and he goes around and solves all the problems of the world. Some fantasy, Batman. So their whole big education, technology, advancement, just some complete mess. And here the devotees, we're discussing what is the cause of all causes, how Krishna is the cause of all causes. So people, those who are a little bit intelligent, all over the world, they're becoming attracted to this. Prabhupada said that my books are for people who are more sincere. Those who are more sincere, they'll be attracted to read these books because there's substance. There's so many people all over the world, they get these books for the first time and they're amazed. It's like a new life. That's actually what it is. Because all their life, whatever they've heard anyone say, whatever they've seen on television, it's all just complete garbage. It's just nonsense. Just ahara nidra bhaya maitra, how to get food, how to get money, how to sleep. It's the whole subject. The whole subject and everything. Just a very superficial, just like they talk about moral issues, ethical issues, love, but it's all superficial, no substance. Simply, the basis of it is sense gratification. Just like now in America, there's a big wave, a new feeling. There's a lot of interest in morality. People are talking about morality and ethics and how we should be good to each other. But of course, that's better than how to cut each other's throat. Definitely, that's better. But ultimately, there's no substance, because their aim is how to live very morally, and there's no discussion of Krishna, as long as there's no discussion of the ultimate goal of life, how we can ultimately become satisfied. And it's all empty. So people all over the world, they're realizing that. They get these books, they're surprised that there's how much substance. This is tangible reality. First thing, what we're discussing, what is the cause of causes? How everything is coming into being? What is the purpose of life? Such discussion is there, and not simply discussion, but along with the discussion, proper answers. complete, and here there's no doubt, just like in the previous verse that is there. Nirupita means it is ascertained. It is already ascertained. We don't have to do research work. We don't have to go to university and move our minds around in different way. We won't, even if we do that, we won't come to any conclusion. Maybe we will. Bahunam jamanamante gyanabhanam prapatit. Maybe after many lifetimes, we may come to the conclusion that we're very lucky that Krishna is the cause of all causes. But even without going through that process, if we simply come to the Srimad Bhagavatam class in any ISKCON temple, and every morning they will open up and they will discuss, Aham sarvasya prabhava, Krishna is the source of everything, Krishna is the cause of all causes. So in this Krishna conscious movement is being given the highest knowledge. That it's simple. Highest knowledge means it's completely in a different category to that which is given by the materialists. Materialist means that jara vidya, jato maya bhai bhav, tomar bhajane badha, anitya shamsare mohajanameya, jivke kariye gadha. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur has analyzed, that this so-called knowledge of the material world, it is simply a display of illusion, maya. And we see that. The scientists, for all their apparent knowledge, they're confused. They can't understand what is the cause of all causes by their different, even though they have very good brains and they make so much mathematical inquiry, but they can't come to any proper conclusion. And after so much mathematics, discussion, research, they still remain confused. They still have not made any progress in understanding anything. But this process, by hearing from authorities who nirupita, they already know. Brahma knows, Madhvacharya knows, Vyasadeva knows, Prabhupada knows. They know what is the truth. Simply by hearing, then we immediately get the highest knowledge. That is, Krishna is the cause of all causes. It's a very important point. If we can simply understand this, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadurlabha. Simply by understanding that Krishna is the cause of all causes, we immediately go past all karmis, vikarmis, gyanis, yogis, and then what do? Aham sarvasya prabhava, atasarvam pravatate, iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samamita. Simply by knowing that Krishna is the cause of all causes, being convinced of all that, then we engage in Krishna's devotional service. So these classes are meant for this. Now there's BIAT classes, preacher's training courses, just to understand this point. Krishna is the cause of all causes, therefore we should surrender to him. Not only I should surrender to him, but everybody else should also surrender to him. If you don't surrender to him, then you're simply a rascal. Namang dushmujano mura prapadyante naradhama maya aparita jnana asuram varanashvita. If we don't accept this, and you may have PhD, MSc, this, but you're simply a rascal. Therefore, this course is very important to study, those who are coming. If they're not coming, those who are anyone, wherever we are, in Vrindavan, outside Vrindavan, hear this class, become convinced, discuss, you can discuss with devotees, become convinced that there is nothing beyond Krishna. Krishna is everything, everything is in Krishna, Krishna is the supreme cause of all causes. Therefore, we should surrender to Krishna. Therefore, everybody should surrender to Krishna. Therefore, being convinced of this, we should go out and convince others also to surrender to Krishna. And that is the sum and substance of this movement. To understand Krishna as the cause of all causes, and to preach that to others, and to engage them in the process of devotional service, surrendering to Krishna. Therefore, we should discuss this day after day after day. We may think, well, heard it before. Krishna's cause of all causes, I know that. What's next? That we should understand very deeply, very clearly. Even if we have superficially understood, we should hear daily to keep our consciousness clear, to keep the point clear. Otherwise, the covering potency of maya is such that again we become confused. So therefore we should hear clearly, regularly, Krishna is the cause of all causes. Therefore, we should surrender to him. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, please? Please, Maharaj.
We're speaking about how the scientists, they have improper equations, so they kind of refer to reductionist perspective. Now, even within the process of devotional service, it is also science, but of course it is a transcendental science. And it seems that oftentimes someone may proclaim to be a devotee of Krishna, to accept Krishna as the cause of all causes, and offer service to Krishna, dress as a Krishna devotee, but within still there is that tendency to reductionize things, to not fully place one's heart in process of devotional service. So what advice can you give to someone who wants to engage in Krishna service, to not have to worry about the size of the stream, but to jump into the full current of devotional service and become interested in it?
To summarize the question, we may take to devotional service, but due to past conditioning, we may still be influenced by this materialist, so-called scientific tendency to think, well, maybe the scientists are right, maybe Prabhupada's wrong. We may think like that. So how to overcome that? Therefore we have the classes. Classes by hearing, we should become convinced. But if very simple process is just to saravam etadritam manye yannam vadisikeshava. Just accept, all right, there's got to be a God. It's a very easy thing to understand. Otherwise, how has everything come? There must be intelligent power behind all this. There must be God behind all this. If there's God, then there's purpose to the creation. He hasn't simply made this creation as a game, like children make sandcastles. There must be a purpose. So therefore, He's going to communicate that to us also. That is scripture. So if we simply accept scripture, whatever Krishna says, we accept. And it's a very easy process. Otherwise, if we go on forever and ever, simply, well, is this right? Maybe it's not right. Maybe this is right. Then what will happen? That atapite deva padam buja dvayam prasada mesha anugrahita evahi janati tadvam bhagavansh mehimno nachanya ekopi chirang vichinda. If we simply accept Krishna, I accept, all right, then Krishna is very merciful, and immediately we can understand. Otherwise, we can't, that knowledge we get by simply accepting, at least theoretically, and then getting the blessings of Krishna, studying Shastra, under the direction of bona fide spiritual master, that knowledge we get, that everything is revealed by Krishna, simply by accepting the simple fact that there must be a God and He's communicating to us, here is Shastra, this is God's word. Otherwise, we're gone many, many lifetimes, and we won't come to any conclusion. When people go away, they're not convinced. They're still thinking, I'm an American. I went to university in America, and we're very intelligent in America. Or I'm very intelligent. So this way their life is spoiled. Any other question? Please. Yes, in the Gita, Lord Krishna says that those who are pious, they can understand it, and those who are not pious, those who are duskriti, those who are sukriti, sukriti dham, they can understand. And those who are duskriti, they cannot understand Krishna. So, many times you see people, they can't understand Krishna. So how to make them pious? Therefore, along with our book distribution, there is Harinam parties. Let them hear the holy name. Prasad distribution. Let them take prasad. Festivals. Let them see Jagannath. This way they'll become pious. Practically in Australia we see, that's a very good example in Australia, how people, they didn't like us very much. Then they had a good program of prasad distribution. Massive prasad distribution. How the people changed. I had a personal experience recently. I was invited to a radio program, and they asked me, well, what do you think about homosexuality? I thought, I invite you to a radio program, and this is all I've got to talk about. But they want to talk about this, because the man who was asking me happened to be a homosexual, so that's what he was interested in. So anyway, the replies I was giving, people in the studio, they didn't very much like it. So I told the devotees, because it was at a festival site, they distributed prasad on them. I said, quick, go get some plates of prasad. So they came back in a few minutes with these plates of prasad, and quick, take this, eat it, quick, take, please. So So they all started taking prasad, and it was amazing how they all changed. Even though we were saying everything against what their idea, yes, we should be liberal and everyone should do that, we should love each other, their idea of love is something totally grotesque. But anyway, they changed so much. Then someone phoned in and said that, well, isn't this way of life of Hare Krishna very austere? So then I said, well, why don't you ask the people who are making the radio program what they think of our food? So they all said, yeah, it's great, it's wonderful. So how they changed. And there are many, many instances just by taking prasad. So this massive distribution of prasadam, this makes people pious. Harinam, Jagannath, Natyaj, all these things. All our whole program is to gradually make people ready for Krishna consciousness. The whole Krishna consciousness movement is, it's all auspicious. And we practically see that all over the... When we were first preaching, people didn't know anything about us, but now there's so many books distributed, our movement's been there, so many people are taking prasad, and actually the preaching field is just getting better and better and better all over the world. And more people are taking a serious interest in Krishna consciousness. Our movement is becoming more and more accepted. And the main problem is, it's a good problem to have in one way, is that we don't have enough preachers to go out and cultivate the interest. So we see how Krishna consciousness, it's all auspicious, and it's just making the world more and more and more. The activities of this movement are just making the whole world more and more and more ready for Krishna consciousness. Please. How do we reduce reductionism? Scientist, when he sees the laws of nature, he must understand that how wonderful is God. But a rascal scientist, he will say, oh, the laws of nature are working independently. So science we're not against. But that science, that should be for the purpose of glorifying God. Idam hi pumsas tapasa shutasya va svishtasya suttasya cha buddhi dateya abhichuta arto kavibhi nirupitam. Yaduteva shloka gunar navarnanam. That nirupitam, it's already ascertained that Krishna is the cause of all causes, therefore our learning, our scholarship, our intellectualism, our austerity, everything should be for the praise of He who is the most praiseworthy. Gave that shloka as a guideline for the Bhaktivedanta Institute.